Hello, this is Dr. Daniel Vinogrand. I'm a biological dentist in San Diego and glad to be here with you today. And I'd like to talk a little bit about root canal controversy. That's a topic that actually has created a great deal of confusion. Often it's not an easy topic, and it's really not a black and white topic. But let me start by maybe addressing a little bit of the history of root canal. First century AD, you have the beginnings of some surgeons actually draining teeth that have been painful. And the record actually shows the first fill to be in the year 1756, where Philip Pfaff, a gentleman, began filling the canals with gold. I imagine gold was quite a bit less than it is today. In the 1900s, root canal therapy became a bit more predictable, and by the 50s and 60s, dentists were getting about an 80% apparent success rate on them, and where people were able to keep them at least for a period of time. And in 1963, endodontics, which is the branch that actually addresses root canal therapy, was accepted as a branch of dentistry. Now, some of the advantages of root canal therapy over the years has been its ability to relieve acute pain. It allows you to keep your own tooth, and it avoids actually other procedures that could be quite invasive and decrease the quality of a person's life, as well as holding the arch integrity, the teeth don't collapse into a space. And the disadvantages of root canal therapy are that you actually eliminate the internal blood supply of the tooth, and it becomes subject to infections. The tooth becomes more brittle and requires a crown to maintain its integrity. And that may be systemically challenging for an immunocompromised patient. So the question is, as far as the decision of whether you want to remove a tooth or get a root canal, in my opinion, most importantly, you have to assess the general health of the patient. A patient that has no other systemic problems, that basically has a good, healthy, systemic immune system, would be a better candidate to get a root canal, and I am going to describe the new generation of biocompatible root canals in a second. And obviously the opposite would be true for an immunocompromised patient. And also, I think it's very important that you or a patient will assess the consequences of removing the tooth. First of all, the tooth has to be removed. If there's infection, certainly there should be a lot of cleaning post-extraction done, whether it's with a burr or with a sharp spoon, should be actually cleaned out thoroughly. And then we have to really think about how to replace the tooth. In some instances, no replacement may be necessary. If it's a second molar that did not have an opposing tooth and is not going to create any problems with the arch integrity, those few cases you may not need to replace it at all. In most cases, though, you do need to replace it. One of the options would be a fixed bridge, which is a combination of two crowns plus the middle piece that has been extracted that will be replaced. Nowadays, we can actually replace them with the non-metallic bridges. The disadvantage, obviously, of a bridge is that you actually have to grind the two teeth adjacent to the space, which may or may not be a problem depending on whether those teeth were already compromised by large fillings or have crowns already. In that case, it really becomes a no-brainer to place a bridge there. However, if your teeth are in pretty good shape and you don't want to actually destroy some of the tooth structure, there are other alternatives. One of them would be a Maryland bridge, which is a very non-invasive type of restoration. It requires a little bit of tooth reduction on the teeth adjacent, but you know, it's a fraction of the reduction that you would have with a regular bridge, and often they work quite well. One of the disadvantages is sometimes those bridges need to be re-cemented, as the bond, which is usually quite good, is not exactly as strong as it would be with a regular bridge. And the next option that you would have would be replace the extracted tooth with an implant, whether it be a titanium or a zirconia. One of the advantages of the zirconia is that it does not have any metal, but some of the disadvantages with those zirconia implants as they are made today is that they are large implants that require aggressive bone removal and often additional surgeries in the maxilla when there's sinus proximity. And they tend to integrate a little bit less efficiently than the titanium counterparts, and often you need to, because they are one piece versus the titanium that tend to be two pieces, you have less flexibility as to the direction of the implant, and often you have to re-prepare those teeth in the mouth to be able to fit a crown over them. And this preparations and this grinding sometimes can cause microfractures that could create fractures on the implant, and there's also some issue with fractures on the crowns that are placed over the implants. The implants that we actually use in our office are called Bicons, which are titanium, but they are about half of the size of the regular implants, which become very non-invasive, and we don't have great issues with biocompatibility with these kind of implants, unless a patient has a particular reactivity to the titanium itself. Finally, the last way that you could choose to replace a tooth is with a removable bridge, which is probably the least costly of all of the above options, but it really is not a great quality of life to have to remove a partial in and out on an ongoing basis. So I would like to actually now address the issue of a traditional root canal versus a biocompatible root canal. So the traditional root canals had a lot of problems. Mostly they were actually filled with a gutta percha, which is a rubber, and some type of a sealer. And these sealers were actually toxic, quite toxic, and the biggest issue with them is that they were hydrophobic, which means that once they were placed in the inside of the canal, they tend to withdraw, they tend to shrink because they don't like the moisture, and there's just natural moisture in the environment. So that resulted in a lack of seal at the apex, at the very end of the root, which became a focus of infection and bacterial growth. And obviously, also there were a lot of accessory canals, small little canals on the side of the tooth that were actually not addressed. With the advent of new materials, there came a sealer that is actually calcium hydroxide based, that is osteogenic, which means that it stimulates osteoblastic activity, bone formation, and most importantly, it's hydrophilic, which means it likes moisture. It actually takes a bit of the moisture from its environment and actually swells a little bit. That means that this material can actually, by swelling, end up sealing not only the main canal, but also some of the accessory canals as well. Another great advantage of this material, what we use in our office is called BC Sealer, is that it has a pH of 12.8. and it really doesn't set, it doesn't solidify for anywhere between 24 and 48 hours, which means that you have a material that is sterilizing that canal and the accessory canals for that period of time and beyond, but the most active sterilization at 12.8 happens the first 24 to 48 hours. Now, the American Society of Microbiology published an article by Mendonca, Amoroso, and Nabel, and in it, it speaks about the research that is showing that at pH 12, the pathogenic bacteria is destroyed. The cytoplasmic membrane of the bacteria disintegrates, and so a pH of 12.8 would be incredibly efficient in sterilizing the canal. Now, is the root canal therapy for everyone, even a biocompatible root canal? I would say no. I would say, again, you have to pay attention as to the condition of the patient or your condition, and obviously if you are quite immune compromised or you're dealing with some serious systemic disease, you may want to opt for not having this root canal. However, you really should consider a lot of the options post-extraction that you will have to face and make your decision before and not after the extraction. I hope this is helpful. All the best. Dr. Vinograd again. Take care.